Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Tes Vav, and we begin on the very, very last line of Kuf Yud Dalit Omid Beis with the words Yiboy Luhu. That's the gear that we have. The Bach changes it around, and he says that the gear should be Yiboy Lei. Okay. In any event, the following shaila was asked in the Beis Medrash: Yiboy Luhu or Yiboy Lei Hechazik or He, if she was the one that established Milchama Ba'olam, that there was a Milchama in the world. And yesterday here we discussed the Mishnah, the Benu, beginning of the 15th Perek, that if there is Milchama in the world, so then some of the kulas that we had normally given to a woman to state that her husband passed away, and she's allowed to be married, even allowed to be Nesiyabim, so we said that doesn't apply if there isn't peace in the world. There has to be two characteristics met. There has to be peace between her and her husband, and there has to be peace in the world. So we had said that if there isn't peace in the world, so then we don't automatically accept her stating that her husband is dead without more definitive proof. And that was the concern, that maybe the husband, if there was Muhammad, wasn't really dead. She just presumed he was dead. Not that she's a horrible person and is lying, but she may not have stuck around because of the missiles that were flying and the risk to her own personal life. So she may have left, presuming her husband was dead. As we had said, the entire platoon was killed. So why would she assume that he was alive as well? So therefore, she may have taken upon a presumption that wasn't halakhically allowed or accurate. Now, what happens if we didn't know that there was a war going on, and she's the one that tells us, she's the one that's telling us, my husband was in a battle, but he died. So do we or do we not believe her in that situation? Wow, what's the halacha? Do we say, Miyamrin and Mali Lashaker? If she wanted to lie, she had a better lie. She could have just said her husband died in bed. And there's peace. The presumption is there's always peace between a husband and wife unless we know otherwise. And there was no knowledge that there was a war going on, so there's presumption that there's peace in the world. So all she had to do was say that my husband died in bed, and she would be believed. So if she was going to lie and say that her husband died in a battle, but don't worry, I know for certain that he died, so then she didn't have to say that. So therefore, Mali Lushakir, why would she be presumed to be telling us something that's not true when she had, if she wished to lie, an easier and better lie to say? We turn to Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Because as I just said, if she wished to, she could say there's peace in the world, and then she would be believed to say that her husband passed away. On the other end, we say, oh, Duma, no. Once she tells us that there's a war going on, Kivan, the Chaska, so then, Amro Abididami, then we have to be concerned that even though she's not doing this on purpose in lying, but since she's telling us there was a war going on and there were missiles flying, and therefore she got out of there even before she definitively knew her husband died, and she just presumed that he was dead. And therefore, the Laosi Mali Lishakir Umarach has Kasi. And if we don't apply this idea that if she wished to lie, she would have a better lie, because she's not thinking that she's lying, she's telling us the truth, that there's a war going on, but therefore we still have to be concerned that maybe she's not definitively stating that he's dead, she just is presuming that he's dead, and that's still a problem. So this is the question, and where it says, we'll try to bring an answer from the following Braisa. Toshma, it says in the following Braisa. Now the Girsa that we have is Ishinu. However, in the Rashi Ksivyad, it tells us that it should be Ishnu. Throughout the entire thing, it's Ishnu. In other words, there was smoke. In other words, there was a fire. Ishnu Aleinu Bayis. The house that they were in never had a fire, and there was smoke, and presumption is that the husband passed away. Or Ishnu Aleinu Mara. They were in a cave, and there was a fire, and there was smoke there, and Humeis, she states that her husband never passed away, but she somehow was miraculously saved. Ani Nitzalti. So in this situation, Einu Nemenes. We don't believe her in this situation, because we have to be concerned that she's presuming that her husband died without definitively knowing so, and therefore she can't be believed to go and allow to be married or to be nisyavim. Oh, seems to be a raya that the fire is very similar to the Muhammad, where she's telling us that there's a Muhammad, she's telling us that there was a fire, and yet we don't believe her. So therefore the answer is, when she tells us there's a Muhammad, we don't believe her that the husband definitely died. But says, no, this is different. Shiny Hassam, this is different in this Brisa, because now the Gisra we have is the Omar, but the Mesos HaShah says it should be Damrina, because we say, Damrina Allah, we say to her, Kihechi, the Lidach, Yisrachesh Nisa, just like you were miraculously saved over here, Lididei Nami Yisrachesh Nisa. So too, he was possibly saved. You were miraculously saved. How do you know he wasn't miraculously saved and you're presuming that he's dead? Now, Tosos later on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph says there's a machlokes between the Babli and the Yerushalmi over here as to whether this means a nace or it doesn't mean a nace in the literal sense. In either way you want to learn it, that actually a nace happened to her, or it just was Baruch Hashem, she was saved. We use the term miracle sometimes very loosely. Oh, it's a miracle that I didn't get hit in that car accident. I was saved. It wasn't a miracle in the sense of a supernatural miracle. Baruch Hashem, it's a tremendous hador to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the machlokes Babli and Yerushalmi, what does it mean over here when it's Rachish Nisa? So whether you learn it that it was an actual miracle or it just was a Baruch Hashem, that she was saved, so too her husband could be saved the same way. Therefore, he can't bring me a raya as to what would be the case where she tells us that there's a war in the world that we didn't know about previously. Try again. Toshma from the following brisa. Naflu aleinu ovdei kochavim. If the woman says Nebuch, goyim attacked us, and or naflu aleinu listim, or armed robbers attacked us, and Nebuch humes, my husband died, but vani, somebody had the gears of vani, vinitzalti, I was saved. So she is believed in this situation, Nehemetis. Oh, so you see that even though she's the one that's telling us that there was a war going on, the Ovi Kochavim attacked her, or the listim, we want to say, is similar to a war going on, and yet it says Nehemetis, she's believed in this situation. So therefore, this brisa seems to prove that we do believe her, even though she's the one that tells us this is a war going on. Shmor says, Lav Dafka. In that situation, Hosom Kidrav Idi. In this brisa, we could say, like Rav Idi says. What does Rav Idi say? This is Rama Gemara in Avodah Zorah and Daf Chav Hey, where Ravidi says, "The Amar Ravidi Isha Klei Zeina Alecha." A woman always has her defenses on her. What does this mean? She always has her weapons on her. So Rashi over there in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah tells us, "Afa Gav De'Eino Chashuva." Even if it's not talking about an important woman, certainly for an important woman, where there will be hell to pay if somebody were to kill her. But even if she's not an important woman, lo, even though Bein Hanoshim, she's not considered important. Below Bein Hanoshim, even amongst the women, she's not considered important. Nevertheless, the armed robbers or the goyim aren't going to kill her. Ain't a hurry, go so. Why not? Because Ella Bala, because they'll keep her to have relations with her. And once the Kivin Shabala, once they go and assault her, ain't a hurry, go. They're probably not going to kill her. And Bafilu ain't a korvel malchus. This is even if she's not an important woman, that she's there to malchus. So that's what it means. Ravidi tells us, Klei Zeino La, she always has her defenses about her, in that they will probably assault her, but not necessarily kill her. So that's why that case is different. We believe her in that situation, because she was saved in a way that he would not be saved. They're not going to usually go and want to commit znus with him. They're going to kill him. So they attacked him and they killed him, but her, they'll keep alive. So therefore, this isn't analogous to the normal case, where just like a miracle happened to her, a miracle could have happened to him, like in the previous case. So this brisa can't answer our question either. Mar says, the Maisa Shoya, how Gavra, that once was a man, the Bishile Hilule, towards the end of his wedding, Itle Nura Beginon. Nebuch, a fire came into the house where they were having the wedding and where they would stay. They would normally stay over for the Sheva Brochas in the house where they had the wedding. They would make a special house to have the wedding in, and that's where they would live. So in this situation, Nebuch, towards the end of the wedding, there was a tremendous fire that destroyed and burnt up the house where the marriage took place. Now, Baruch Hashem, she got out, but she tells everybody, wait a second, my husband, Amra Lehu Devaisu. She tells everybody that's there, chazu gavroi, my husband is inside the house, save my husband. As Rashi says, Sha'es Ochloso, Rechman al-San, is being burned up by the fire. And then what happens? Also, they go try to save him, chazu gavro charucha, and they see Nebuch, a burnt dead person, the shtei that's thrown there on the ground. And they see another hand. That's the way Rashi understands in Dibra Maskel, with the emendation that you can see in Oshes and the Masoros Hashas from the Marshal, that Meish Acher Habol Atzilo, somebody came to go and try to save him, and Nebuch, that other person also, his hand is the only thing that they have left of that person that tried to save him. So they see one dead body, which right now we're presuming is the husband, and the hand, which we're presuming is the hand of the person who tried to save her. So in this situation, Sova Rav Chiya Bar Avin Lameimar, Rav Chiya Bar Avin wanted to suggest, Hainu Ishnu Aleinu Bayis Ishnu Aleinu Ma'ara. This is exactly analogous to the case where we had the fire in the house or the fire in the cave, where we said, just like a nace happened to her and she was able to be saved, in the stomach, a nace happened to the husband and he's also saved over here. That's what Rav Chiya Bar Avin wanted to suggest. But Rava didn't like this. Omar Rava says, what? Me dummy, how is this comparable to the case of the fire in the house or the fire in the cave with the fire in the wedding house? The two cases aren't the same. Me dummy. Hasam, in those cases, lo ka'omra chazu gavroi. She didn't say, my husband's burning up. And furthermore, va'od, gavro charocha dishdi. We see Nebuch, a burned person on the ground over here. And upisa diada dishadja. And we see the hand of a person who tried to save him. So how can you compare the two? How can you say, well, just like she got out, he got out? Somebody's dead over here. Isn't that her husband? We presume it to be her husband, Rava says. No, what was Rechia Bar Avin thinking? So Gemara says, Rechia Bar Avin, he was saying, Gavr Charocha Deshadja, that person that's lying there dead on the ground isn't necessarily your husband. Ema, you know what we could say? Inishachrina also liatsule. That's the guy that tried to be the Hatzalah guy. That's the fireman who came in there to try to save him from the fire. Vachilte Nura and Nebuch, that's the burnt entire body of the person that tried to save him. Aye, the hand, Upisiso the other, the hand, the Shaja that's lying over there, that's Nura Islaya. That's the hand of her husband that got burnt off. The Isyali Bemuma, and he got a mum, his hand, Nebuch, he's going to be missing a hand. He's so embarrassed, he can't go to his wife now as a one-handed person. He left and went away, and that's why he ran away. Tosus points out, we want to give here a reason as to why the husband didn't, if he's alive, why he didn't come out. They can't say there's a katata between them. They just got married. They're at the great stage of their life where they're in love with each other. Hopefully that should continue for everybody. I may have yes. So certainly he's not going to run away unless there's a good reason. That's why Tosu says we have to give a reason over here why he ran away. Because otherwise it's very strange. Whereas normally we don't have to give a reason why the husband didn't show up if he was really not burned in the house, not burned in the cave. Maybe he said, listen, I had enough and I'm getting out of here. So in those situations, we didn't give an explanation for why the husband didn't stay. But here, if the husband was around, the stomach would have appeared. But here, because he lost his hand, so we're saying it's a blemish that he can't bear to live with his new wife with, so that's why he ran away. But that's how Rav Chiya Bar Avin saw this and said, no, you can't bring me any raya one way or the other as to whether we believe the wife in the case where she says there was a war when we didn't know that there was a war. Bar now asked the following Shaila. They ask in the base medrash, what happens if it's not the wife, but there's an eid echad who says b'mulchama mahu? The eid echad says that there's a mulchama on and that the husband passed away. What do we say in this situation? We didn't know about the mulchama until this eid told it to us, and he's the one that tells us that the husband died. Do we say normally taimod eid echad mehaman mishum demilso david liigluyehu lo mishaker? Do we say that the normal reason why we believe a single witness is because it's eventually going to be known? If he says that Yankel died and then 2 weeks later Yankel shows up, he has egg on his face that's an unbelievable bullshit to him that he made this all up and that he lied. So if the normal understanding is because an eid echad is believed because he's never going to say something that could turn out that he's lying, he wants somebody to publicly expose as a liar, so then no different over here. So what if he tells us that there's a war? Hachanami l'mashakir. We can be pretty certain that he's telling us the absolute truth, and that the husband Nebuch passed away. Or do we say, no, Odoma, Taima, maybe the reasoning is that we believe normally in Eid Echad, the Eid Echad is believed, Mishum, the Hi Gufa, Daika, Uminsava, because under normal circumstances, we believe the Eid Echad because this woman is no way ever going to get married unless she herself checks it out, and she verifies this Eid Echad is telling us the truth, because in the horrible situation where her husband isn't dead and she gets married, remember we learned previously in the Mishnah that she's not allowed to live with her new husband, not allowed to live with her old husband, the children of Amzerim, she has all sorts of problems, she lost her ksuba, etc., etc., etc. So there's no way she's going to go and get married without checking it out. So normally we say that she's going to be Daika Uminsava. That's why we believe in Eid Echad. But here, Vahacha, now most of the poskim say we don't read the next line, Kivan Dezimnim Desanyale, because it's not really appropriate over here. We're not talking about that she doesn't love her husband. But in this situation, we just say, Vahacha, Lo Daiko Minsava. She's not going to be so careful because somebody else is telling us that this husband died in a war. And therefore, she's going to make a presumption over here that, yes, he must have died. If the aide says the whole platoon was killed, so she's not going to go check it out so well, possibly. And therefore, we're not sure in this situation, do we believe this aid echad or not, like we normally would. So Amar Rabbi Racham, Rabbi Racham says, Toshmat, let's bring a raya from the Mishnah that we're going to learn on the very last Talmud in the Masechta. And it tells us there the story about Rabbi Akiva. Very interesting story. Amar Rabbi Akiva. When I had to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Naradoi to go be Ma'abed Hashana. Normally the Gadol Hadar sits with the Sanhedrin and they decide in those days when they had the months all announced by the witnesses and not a set calendar like we do today, so they would announce each month the days that would proclaim the new month based upon the witnesses, and they also would decide each year is it going to be a leap year or not. They would have leap years approximately 7 out of every 19 years in the cycle. Today it's codified that way. But each year they would decide, for various economic and other reasons, is this a good reason to make a leap year or not? So the Gadol Hadar would normally do this in Eretz Yisrael. But if he was the Gadol Hadar, as Tosfos points out over here, from the Gemara in Brachos, so Rabbi Akiva was the Gadol Hadar, and he says, Lo hiniach kamoso of Eretz Yisrael. nobody was like him, as great as Rabbi Akiva, left in Eretz Yisrael. So if he had to leave the Eretz Yisrael because the Goyim were persecuting him and wouldn't allow us to do a leap year, so then he went to Nardoi to do the leap year over there, and that's the halacha. So he said, once I went to Nardoi to be Ma'abed the Shana, and I found a great sage over there, Motzasi Nechemia Ish Beis Deli. I found this Talmud Chacham Nechemia, who was a man who came from the city of Beis Deli. And he asked me, Shamati, did you hear Shein Messiah Nesish of Eretz Yisrael, Api Edechot Ela Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava? He said, is it true that the only one who says that we believe in Eid Echad and a woman can be married based upon an Eid Echad is the opinion of Yehuda ben Bava, but everybody else, the Chachamim, disagree with him? So Rabbi Akiva answered him, Namti. He told him, yes, Namti lo kein hadvar. Yeah, that is correct. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is a Das Yochid, and we don't paskin like him. Everybody else disagrees with him. So this great Jew, Nechemiah Ish Beis Deli, says, Omali, he tells Rabbi Akiva, Emor lehem Mishmi, tell him in my name, Atem yodim hamedina hazu mishubeshes begayosos. You know that this nation that we're in right now in Nardai is filled over here with wandering troops. It's very dangerous outside. Now, right now, we're presuming that he means that this is a Shas Muhammad. And that's why he says that this land that I'm in, Hamedina Hazo, Mishubeshes Bayosos. It's as if he was saying this is a Shas Muhammad. And therefore, the din is, Kach Mekublanmi, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, I had gotten the following tradition from Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein that, again, we're presuming right now that Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein said, when there is a city that is engaged in war, nevertheless, Shemesin Aisha Pi Edechad, that we do trust the person on an Edechad. Now, why did he tell us this? My Medina Mishubeshes Gayasos, wasn't it the teachers? Lav Al Fagad, the Medina Zu Mishubeshes, Kach Mekumlani, Shemesin Api Edechad, Amo Edechad Nehemin. So it appears that this great Jew, Nechemiah Ish Beis Deli, is telling Rabbi Akiva that the halacha is, based upon Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein's opinion, that even when there's a time of milchama, we do believe the Eid Echad. So, looks like we have the answer to our question. But Amar Rabbi says, not necessarily so. If this was the case, Ihachi, why did Nechemiah Ish Beis Deli tell us Medina Zu? He said, Atem Yodim HaBedina HaZo, Mishubeshes B'Gayosos. Maishno Medina Zo, he should have said, Komokum Sheish Gayosos B'Boyle. There are only Leo Zokin Paskin, that any place that you have Muhammad, so we still nevertheless believe in Eidachah. Why did he say, in our day we pass in this way? You know why he said it? Elama Rava, he was just telling us a practical matter. Why don't I go along with Rabbi Akiva back to Eretz Yisrael and tell them myself? So, Hachi Kamar, this is what Rabbi Rava is saying, that Nechemiah Ish Beis Deli was telling Rabbi Akiva, I would love to go back with you. However, Atem Yodim Mishem Medina Zu Mishubeshes Begayosos. It's very dangerous. I'm an old man, and I can't go in this difficult time of travel. Below Efsholi Lemishbak Inshe Beisi, and I can't leave my house, Umaisi Kamei the Rabbanan, and go myself and tell the Rabbanan. Therefore, you, Rabbi Akiva, tell them on my behalf. But Lav Dafka that he's talking about during the Eis Muhammad, he was just saying that an Eid Echad is Neman, and Kach Mekublani, Rav Gamliel HaZakein, Shemesina Isha Al Pi Eid Echad, that we do allow an Eid Echad, but it doesn't answer our question. What about if the Eid Echad is the one that tells us Shas Muhammad? Try again. Toshma from the following brisa. Maisa b'shnei tamidei chachamim. Nebuch, there were these two tamidei chachamim shu boinim Abba Yossi ben Simai b'svina. They were traveling with this other great Talmud Chacham, Abba Yossi ben Simai, on a boat, and Nebuch v'tova, and the boat sank. So therefore, they're all presumed to be dead. They see Rabbi and Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi, the great Rav Yehuda Nasi, allowed their wives to marry based upon the testimony of the women that were on that boat that were surviving, or from other women. Nishosayim, Vahisi Rebbe, Nishosayim, Al Pi Noshim. He allowed the wives of these Talmidei Chacham to go get married based upon the testimony of the women who saw that the men drowned on this ship. Now, the Hamayim, right now we want to suggest, Kimul Choma Domu, as Rashi says, the Ikol Meimar Bididomi. Certainly one could say that the boat's sinking, people are rushing to save themselves, and they just presume that everybody else went down, because if they weren't on the lifeboat, so they have to assume that they died. So therefore, right now we want to make the assumption that Mayim has the same status as Muhammad, and yet we see that the women were believed, the other women were believed, the Noshim Afilu Meya Keid Echad Domu, and the other women that were there, there, even if there are 100 of them, they only have the status of being like an Eid Echad. So you have an Eid Echad, you have Shas Muhammad, and Vikatani, we see that the halacha is that Rebbe Hasi Nisho Sayin. Therefore, Vikatani Hasi. So we see that you are allowed to rely upon them. Oh, this Brisa seems to say that in Eid Echad is Neman to say that the husband died during war. Oh! Or it says, really? Vitizbra? You think that's what the Brisa means? First of all, mayim shein lahem sof ninu. This is water that has no boundaries. In other words, as Rashi points out, water that has no boundaries, the Gemara is going to tell us in Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, in the last parak, with parak basra, we're in the penultimate parak, 15th parak, in the 16th parak, it's going to say, kol sha'omei v'eno ra, me'aburu chosav, is called mayim shein lahem sof. If you can't see all the shores, so then how do you know that this person wasn't saved? That maybe a wave took him, and it's beyond your vision, and he actually landed on a shore someplace. You can't say that he drowned for sure. These are mayim shein lahem sof. In this situation, the woman is not allowed to remarry. As Rashi points out, here you may have two men, two kosher witnesses that definitely declare that the boat sank. We have to presume somehow they floated underneath the water. And they went out of the river. They went out of this body of water. And therefore, they wouldn't be allowed to get married in this situation. So what happened over here? What are the case in this Brisa talking about, that Rebbe was allowing the wives to go get married, the Amrei, because the women said, Askinu Kamon, they actually brought the bodies of their husbands or the other men on the boat up from the depths. Seems to suggest from over here that these women actually testified about their own dead husbands. And they said that their husbands had a simen, v'chazinu le'alter, we saw them right away. There are a lot of different ways to understand this Gemara. Right now, we'll just take the simplest and easiest explanation, which is that they brought them right away after they were brought up from the water. So they didn't have a time for the bodies to swell and the bodies to change. And Rashi and Tosfos both point out, if the bodies were in the water for a long time, that won't change their appearance. The water dries them up somehow. It shrinks them. And only after they come out of the water do they swell up and change their appearance. So they looked at them, Chazinu le'alter, we're on Kuftez Vavum at base, and it says that they identified their husbands, but not based upon their facial recognition, as Rashi says, the Elav Simonim, if it wasn't for these definitive Simonim, that's the way many understand it. Some say they had definitive Simonim, and that's how you can tell that this is a Simon Muvok, as opposed to regular Simonim that may or may not be normally allowed. So the simplest way to understand this is that they had Simonim Muvokim, Chayshinan, Dilma Acherim Ninu, that there's no way that you would be concerned that these were other people. If it wasn't for these definitive simonim that they gave, you might say, well, maybe it's somebody else. If they said, well, my husband was 6 feet tall, well, many people are 6 feet tall. That's not a definitive simon. But if they say, listen, her husband had some very unusual mark on the body, a certain birthmark in the shape of Eretz Yisrael, and he had that birthmark, and they find that person with that birthmark, so that's a simon muvak, and therefore you won't say it's somebody else. And lefisha mayim ishan mitzuras haponim, because you can't guarantee by looking at the face that that face is who the person is, because the changes in the water nebuch when they drowned. So therefore, it's because of this simonim, the lav alayu samchin, and it's not these women that were relying upon their testimony, elo asimonim. It's the simonim that they gave about the nebuch, their dead husbands. And therefore, that's why we believe them in this situation. But lav davka, would Rebbe have allowed them to be meisi if they just said something that wasn't a simon muvok, if they just had said, we're presuming that our husbands died. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from this Mishnah later in the Masechta. Now the Gemara says, how gavra, the afkid shumshimi gabe chavre, there once was a situation where Reuven gave shumshimi, sesame seeds, in the presence of witnesses, Tosu says, and the Dibra Maschel, V'chein Havion U'B'chavisa Ramyon, so Amari, the Ayri B'hifkin, Etzlo B'Eidim. So we're dealing here with this definite proof that the Shumshimi originally came from Reuven, and now we're in Shimon's possession as a Pikodon. So, how Gavra, there was this guy Reuven, the Afkid, he gave a Pikodon of Shumshimi to his friend, Gabi Chavre, his friend Shimon. And Amarle, a couple of weeks later, he tells Shimon, Havli Shumshimi, give me back my Shumshimi. And what does Shimon say? Amalei, Shimon tells Reuven, Shekiltinu, you took them back. And these are different ones. Reuven's upset. He says, what are you talking about? V'chein, v'chein, havyon. I gave you 5 pounds of shumshimi. U'b'chavisa ramyon. And they're in this and this type of a container. So how can you tell me that you gave them back to me? Look, you see, they're still in that container, the exact amount that I told you. So Shimon says, Amalei, you did that. I agree. Didach shekiltinu. But you took it back then. V'hani achrini ninhu. And I put new sesame of my own back in these containers in the exact same amount that you had there. So who do we believe? So, Sava Ruchista, this Din Torah came to Ruchista, and he wanted to suggest, Sava Ruchista lemeimar, hainu shnei tamidei chachamim. This is exactly the case of the two tamidei chachamim that Rebbe allowed them to be married based upon the simonim. And therefore he said, in this situation, this person, Reuven, gave wonderful simonim, that it was in such and such amount, and in such and such a barrel, that's like a simon muvok. So therefore, he wanted to believe Reuven. below Amrinon, Hanach Ozul Yama, Vaniach Rininu. Just like we don't say that the two Tamidei Chachamim that they found, that were two other people, and the two Tamidei Chachamim somehow were saved and are off somewhere on a shore in a distant land. Just like we don't say that there, we shouldn't say that by Rishon Shabbat. But Rava didn't like this either. Amalei Rava, Rava says, Rechista, me dummy, the two cases aren't comparable. How can you go and say this? Hasam, in the case of the women identifying their husbands, Ka'amri Simonim, they gave Simon Mufakim. They have a birthmark that's in the shape of Eretz Yisrael. Nobody has that birthmark on their back except their husband. So therefore, that's a Simon Mufak. But with the sesame, Hacha, Shum Shabi, my Simon Islu, that's not a Simon Mufak. To say that there was 5 pounds of sesame in a certain type of container, in a certain barrel, you know, that's a Simon, but it's not a Simon Mufak. So the two cases are incomparable. Even though Udekamar Kain V'chein Havyan, nevertheless, Eimer Chushbun Isrami, even though he's saying it's 5 pounds and in such and such a container, so it's very possible that the person put in also 5 pounds in that container. So there's no raya that Ruvain is correct and Shimon is not. So Gemara says, that's what Rava says, but Amalei Markishisha, by Rav Chisla Ravashi. So Markishisha, Rav Chisla had two sons, Markishisha and Maryanuka. There's a difference of opinion as to which is the older one. Normally, Maryanuka is the younger one, Markishisha is the older one, but some suggest that Maryanuka is the one that he had when he was younger, and Markishisha is the one that he had when he was older. In any event, the son of Rav Chisla says to Ravashi, that's not a good teretz that Rava gave us. Umichai Shinon Shema Pinon. Rava is suggesting that maybe he actually, Shimon gave them back to Reuven, and he put in new ones. So he says, that's not right. Do we really think that Shimon emptied the container and put in his own Shumshvi in that container? But now we have a Mishnah, Maisa Sheni, that tells us otherwise. If a person found a kli, Motzo kli, a person finds a kli, the cause of a love, Kuf, and the letter Kuf is on the kli, which presumably stands for carbon, the Gemara tells us, meaning that anything in that kli, money or any item, has the status of being mukdash for a carbon. Or if he finds a kli that has on it the letter mem, which presumptively means meiser, meiser sheni. Stam meiser is normally meiser sheni. So the status of the money inside there has to be like meiser sheni money. Or if there's produce inside there, it has to be treated as if it was meiser sheni. That's what the mem on the container means. Or if you find the dalis, so our gears in the Gemara is dimua. Dimua is a mixture of chulin and truma, where you don't have enough chulin to be mevatel the truma, so then the entire mixture is called dimua and has to be treated as if it was all truma. Or alternatively, as you can see in the Mesoras HaShas, Ozbeis, he says in the Mishnayis, and it's brought down by the Bar Tanura, the word Dalit over here is for Demai. And in other words, Lakoach Mishomam Aretz, you have to presume that the produce inside this container is produce that still needs to have Trumas and Maisis taken from it, Midirabonon, because it's Demai. And likewise, if you find the container, it says on a test. So you have to presume that's Tevel. It's telling us that the produce inside here hasn't been Mufresh Trumas and Maisis. And finally, if you find the container that says on it a tav, that stands for truma. And in all of these situations, you have to presume, the Tanakam of this Mishnah tells us, that you have to presume that the letter on the container, in fact, describes what's in the container. We don't say somebody originally had that item in there, then poured it out, and now put in something that's chulin in there. But we presume that whatever was there originally is there still now. And why did they not write out the full word truma or the full word maisa sheni, etc.? Because this was in a time of danger when they weren't allowed to be mafresh trumas and maisa. The grand persecuted us for a change, and they didn't let us take off trumas and maisa. So you had to do this in a stealth way. So you wanted to make sure that you knew and anybody else would know that this is truma, but you were scared to write truma, so you just put it on at the letter tough. And therefore, everybody would know, except the guy. So you see clearly that we don't say, like Rava wanted to suggest, Makashisha, the son of Rav Chisla, says to Ravashi, Rava's wrong. You don't say that it's presumably that, in the case of the Shumshmi, that Shimon poured it out and gave it back to Ruvain, and he just kept the container, and he put his own stuff in there. Just like we don't presume that the item inside these containers is really chulin, but we say, no, it's truma, it's demai, etc., etc. So Amalei Ravina or Ravashi, Ravina says to Ravashi, no, Rava's okay. You're telling us that we aren't concerned that maybe they poured it out? Keep on reading that very Mishnah, Eima Seifa. And the rest of the Mishnah tells us that Rav Yossi disagrees with the Tanakama. Number one, he disagrees with the Tanakama and says that even if you were to have the word Truma spelled out, I disagree with you. And he says, I feel in what's a chavis because of a lea Truma. I don't agree with you if it's certainly written an abbreviation on it. But even if it says on it Truma, Demai, Dimua, Maisesheni, etc., etc., carbon, no matter what it says on it, spelled out fully, I even disagree. We have the right to assume that anything in these containers, even the one that says on it truma, the one that says on it tevel, we have the right to assume anything inside of there is really chulin. Why? Because we say, Shani Omer, Rav Yossi holds, that a person has the right to say, Eshtakad, Havimlei Truma, that originally, yesterday, it was filled up with truma. Last year, he filled it up with truma. Eshtakad literally means last year. So, yes, he originally used it to put truma in, but then upina. But then, at the end of the year, he took it out and gave it to the Kohen, or if he's a Kohen, he ate it, etc. And now, it's empty, and he wants to use the barrel again, and he puts in chulin this time. Why didn't he go and take off the word truma from it? That will answer in a moment. But in the meanwhile, Rav Yossi holds that it doesn't have the status of truma. We assume it was poured out and new stuff was put in. Ella, the kuli alma chayshin and shema pinon. In fact, everybody agrees with Rav Yossi. Even the Tanakhama agrees with Rav Yossi that the original item that was in there was poured out. And now this is new stuff in there that's chulin. So what are they arguing about then? So the Gemara says, v'hocha b'hocha mifligi. This is what they're arguing about. Mar sovar the Tanakhama holds im isa de pino. If in fact you want to say that he did pour it out and he put new stuff in there, Michbar hava kofar. He should have gone and erased the statement that it said truma on it. The fact that he didn't erase it, Rashi says, mikaneach begorer hayu esaos. When the fact that he didn't go and do that, that's proof that no, he left and put in new truma in its place. The old truma's not there, but he put in new truma in its place. New, what does Rav Yossi say? Vidach, he says, no. Emar ishteluye ishtale. He forgot. He didn't erase it. Who goes and takes care of everything like that immediately? Not everybody is so punctilious. And therefore, ishtilulia ishtali. He didn't erase it. Or alternatively, this is much better. Inami lefanchaya shavke. Rashi says lefanchaya shavke means latzolas peiro shebesocha. He bedafko went and left it there on purpose. So the next guy that comes along is going to be scared to go take something from it. Oh, this is truma. Kadesh yibadlu b'nei adam ehen, Rashi says. This lashon panchaya is a lashon of shimur. Kadam shetola mamono b'adam choshev. If you say, oh, this isn't my money. You don't want to take this. This is the president's money. This is the leading person in the community's money. Oh, everybody's going to stay away from that. Nobody's going to steal that. So that's what he did over here. He bedavka didn't erase the word truma from it, carbon from it. So people would mistakenly think that's truma and carbon, and therefore would not go and take it. And therefore, that's what Rav Yossi says. But in a stam case, we just assume always that the person poured out whatever was there originally, and anything that's there now is new. So you can't bring me a raya from there. Mara tells us, Yitzhak Reish Gilusa, by the person by the name of Yitzhak, known as the Reish Gilusa, either he was really the Reish Gilusa or he was ahead of some local organization, not clear exactly who he was, but Yitzhak Reish Gilusa, who was the nephew, Bar Achose, he was the son of the sister of Rav Bibi. So he was Rav Bibi's nephew through his sister. And Ava Ka'azil, Mekortova L'Aspamia. And he was traveling from the city of Kortova to the city of Aspamia, and Nebuchadnezzar passed away, V'shochiv. Now, Sholchu Mehasam, they sent over there a message telling that this guy had died. Now, according to most, they didn't send all this information that we have over here right now, but that's exactly what happened. But they only sent possibly some of this information. Otherwise, they were posting to say, if they sent all of this information, you don't have to be concerned that there's another similar person by the name of Yitzhak. But in any event, Sholchu Mehasam, the people from the city Aspamia, sent back to where he came from, and they said, Yitzchak Reish Gelusa, who was Bar Achose the Rabibi, some say they didn't include that, but in any event, that's who it was. It was the nephew of Rabibi through his sister, Havak Ozo Mikurtova of Aspamia. He traveled from the city of Kurtova to Aspamia, and he died. So therefore, his wife could go and get remarried. She's somebody who is capable of now being a Penuya and can get remarried. Now, do we concern ourselves over here and say maybe there's another Yitzchak who was in that town of Aspamia and they're sending back to the wrong town that the guy died when in fact he really didn't die? Do we have to be concerned for Shnei Yitzchak Reish Gelusa? And certainly if you throw in all the other things, it becomes much harder to say that there'd be two people that were the nephews of Rabibi that came from Cordova to Aspamia. That's why, as I said, some don't gores that the entire message was sent. So are we concerned that there's Trey Yitzchak or not? So Abaye says, we are concerned. Abaye Amar Chashino, we have to be concerned that there's another Yitzchak. And therefore, you can't tell this woman she can remarry. And Rava says, absolutely not. Rava Amar Lo Chashino, you don't have to be concerned that there's another Yitzchak. Why did each one of these two say their position? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Mino Amin Allah, from where do I tell you that in fact we are Chayish, that there's another Yitzchak? Because from the following story, the Hau Gita, there was a get that was found in the city of Nardoi, which a woman was claiming, that's my get. Uksiv, and it said on the get, Bitzad Kolonya Masa, right next to the city known as Colonia. Anna, the guy who wrote this get, said, I, who was he? Androlinoi Nardoi. My name is Androniloi, and I come from the city of Nardoi, and on this place over here, I wrote a get to my wife and gave it to her, and on this shtar, there were all sorts of proofs that this was in fact the case. This was a legitimate, good shtar. Potris visarichis yos plonis insi. And over here, I went and divorced my wife. This is the lashon of a get, and it was documented. This is all done kedas v'chadin. There's a harshah from the Beis Din on it, and everything was kedas v'chadin, that this was a good get. But the woman didn't have it. Someone else found it, and now she's claiming, that's my get, give it to me. So the shalchavu de shmuel kamei de Rav Yehuda Nesiya. So this was brought in front of Rav de Shmuel to Paskin. Do we accept that this get is this woman's or not? And he sent it to Rav Yehuda Nesiya to ask him what we should do. The shalach lei. So Rav Yehuda Nesiya responded back to Rav de Shmuel, and he said, Tibodek Nardoi Kula. Go and check out the entire city of Nardoi to see if there's another guy by the name of Androlinoi. And if there is, then you got a problem. But if there isn't, then you can assume that this woman is divorced. That's what he seemed to send back to Avuah de Shmuel. Now, Abaye says, here's my proof. You see that you have to be chayish for Trey Yitzchok. So you have to be chayish for Trey Androloninoi. Rava says, no, absolutely not. Rava Mar, im Isa, if in fact Rav Yehuda Nesiya says that you have to be concerned for another Androloninoi, then why is it only Nardoi? Yibodei kol olam, Boyle. He should have said, go and check out the rest of the world. If somebody else has this name, Androloninoi, so then you're in trouble. Maybe he's the guy that wrote the get, and it's not a valid get. Tosa says, maybe he wrote it to get the other guy in trouble. So he didn't even have to write it himself, but he wrote it to get the other guy in trouble. It wasn't for his own wife, it was for this guy's wife, possibly. So then, if that were true, Rava says, then we'd never end up this problem over here by saying, just look in Nardoi. So why did Rav Yehuda Nesiya send back to Rav Yehuda Shmuel, just check out Nardoi? So Ella, Rava says, Mishum kavod, kvodo, the Rav Yehuda Shmuel. It was because of the kavod of the Shmuel, of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, the Hudishalach Chachi. That's why he sent it, because in this situation, he felt that it wasn't necessary at all to go and check it all. But if he would send back to Rav Yehuda Shmuel that you made a mistake, that's not proper kavod. As Rashi says, Shalo lachziko kitoa, v'shol dover sheno tzorach. He didn't want people to think that Avod Shmuel asked the klutz kasha over here, and that there was really no kasha. So he made it sound like there was, oh yes, that's very good, go and check out Nardoi. As long as you know that there's no other guy by the name Androloninoi in Nardoi, so then this get is a good get. So therefore, he only sent it back in this way because of the kavod for Avod Shmuel, but not because it was really necessary. That's how Rava would explain this. Abaye says, chayshinan from here, and Rava says, absolutely not. So where does Rava say that lo chayshina? He can't bring a proof from over here, but he says, I'm a Rava, lo, where do I say that you don't have to be concerned about the possibilities of two Yitzchoks, of two Androloninois? Because the Hanu Trey Shtore, the ones with two documents, the Nafkeb Mechuzah, that came out in the city of Mechuzah, and they had on it two very popular names. It would be like having on it the name Yankel or John Smith. Uksiv Behu, Chavai Bar Nanai, the Nanai Bar Chavai. There were two documents there that so-and-so owed this person money. The first one said that so-and-so owed Chavai Bar Nanai money. The second one said that so-and-so owed the Nanai Bar Chavai money. Now, these were popular names. But Agbe Behu Rava Bar Avua Zuze. And nevertheless, even though they were found, so Rava Bar Avua allowed the people, Chavai Bar Nanai and Nanai Bar Chavai, to go collect based upon these documents. Now, there were many people with those names. Those were popular names in those days, and yet he wasn't choshish that this is another person's document. These two people presented it with those documents. You don't have to be concerned that they found it and that it came from somebody else. So that's what Rava says. You see, you don't have to be choshish for two people. What would he say in this case? So we turn to Kuf Tes Zayin Omud Aleph. What would he say about this? He would say there's three possibilities here. If you're going to tell me that they found it, that it fell out from somebody's hand, and they're collecting on it inappropriately, he says, no, Mizar Zorbe, a guy that has an IOU, is going to be very careful with it, and he's not going to lose it. So therefore, it's very, very unlikely that they found the document from a different person with that same common popular name, and that's very unlikely because people will be very careful with an IOU, and they won't drop it. Are you going to tell me that another guy by the name of Chanai Bar Nanai gave it to this Chavai Bar Nanai as a pikadon, hold on to this for me, and now he's trying to collect for it. Ila pikadon, who would in their right mind give a document that's an IU to them to somebody else with the same exact name? Give it the Shmei Kishmei Lo Mafkid Gabe. So that's very, very, very unlikely that another person with that exact name gave it to him. So that it should be lost and this new person found it, or that this new person got it from the real owner of this IOU. Very, very likely. I would even say, my Amri is Duma Mosale. Maybe somebody gave it over to him, but didn't make a proper kinyan on it, so he gave it over to him. Let's say it was worth $1,000. He said, listen, I can't go and trouble myself. I'll give you $500, and you go, give me $500, and you go collect. And he said, fine. And he handed it over to him, but maybe he didn't make a proper kinyan. Is that what you're concerned about? So therefore, he's not really allowed to collect with it? No. Osios niknos b'mesira. So in this situation, the handing over the document is all that you need. It didn't have to be any other kinyan other than the handing over the document. So Abaye would say, under no circumstance over here do you have to be concerned. That's why in this case, he was allowed to collect with it. But that doesn't prove anything about Chayshinon in other cases. So we're still in the middle of the discussion. This machlokus between Abaye and Rav, and Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up over here tomorrow with the same discussion. That ends today's shir.